10, we started this in verse 25 last time. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Notice two things here. First of all, he's asking a question about eternal life. Verse 26, and he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. Just file this away for a moment. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, the guy asked about eternal life in verse 25. In verse 28, Jesus said, And thou shalt live if you do that. Verse 29, But he, willing to justify himself, and said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, well, this is one of those passages where folks get upset when something is taught different than they've heard it. And I don't know that these folks are going to do that because they've heard this probably before. But, Lord, I pray that you'll please help. Give us insight in the Scriptures. Lord, we don't want to be wrong. Lord, I'm trying to stay before you. Father, aware of the judgment seat of Christ is coming up any day now. And, Lord, I want to be right, not for the sake of being right, but for the sake of being right with you and not having taught wrong and believed wrong when I do stand before you. And so, Lord, I pray you to help this morning as we try to fetter out some things. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started last week, and this whole thing lands right in the lap of an issue that's argumentative real fast. Maybe not for you folks here, but the fundamentalists and generally speaking, theologians that know salvation that's true teach that it's not possible that the Lord would have taught that somebody could be saved under auspices of the law the way he told this guy to. Now, again, he either meant what he said or he didn't. He said, what do I do to inherit eternal life? How do you read the commandments? Here are the commandments. Okay, do that and thou shalt live, right? Now, again, it gets real off-putting for some. Because obviously we've battled out for generations now that salvation's by grace through faith, and there's nothing else that you can do to get saved but believe on Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that's always been that way, and some hold that it does, and that the law could never have delivered exactness what the Lord said here it would. Now, I want to make sure that you understand, I've wrestled this thing through. I've read other guys and tried to figure out a way, maybe I'm not right. So I've read those guys through, put it through the grinder again, and I keep coming up with the same thing. And so I don't want you to think that, what I'm teaching, I'm trying to teach contrary to basic mainline sound enough scholarship, that sort of thing. But I just hope that you'll be open-minded enough. If you have a tendency not to be, to just study the Bible, again, I'm trying to do this, be right, not for the sake of being right and winning an argument, but for the sake of the fact that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ one day for what I believe and what I thought, right? So here I'm wrestling with this. Okay, I know what the law was. I know why it was given. Galatians 3, we learn it was given to prove we were sinners, and that nobody could keep it and earn it. We know that nobody ever said that the law delivered anything perfect. To be clear, my position and what I've come to is that the law was a compressed bandage upon a real nasty wound that was going to bleed you out, sin. And it was temporary. You're going to need more surgery. You're going to need something else to happen before this is made right and it can heal. But until Jesus Christ came, the law was given as a compress, as a bandage, a glorified band-aid, until something better could come. Now, I drew your attention to, he asked about eternal life. He said, thus do and thou shalt live in verse 28. Let me take you to one passage. I'm going to run two or three things parallel here for a couple minutes. And I'm working off three different sets of notes. So good luck on the confusion angle. Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, he asks about eternal life. Christ said, if you do this, you'll live. And I hold when Jesus Christ said, well, you'll live, he's answering the question about eternal life, meaning you can have eternal life if you do these things. Now, keeping in mind, Jesus hadn't died yet, hadn't been resurrected yet. So they were still under an Old Testament law economy, okay? So Christ is not been dead, buried, and resurrected yet. Now notice in Galatians chapter 3 and notice its synopsis of the law in verse 12. And there's other things in chapter 3 that are very important. But it says in verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but, and then it cites and says, the man that doeth them, that is the lawful commandments, shall live in them. Now, I've examined those that say that it's just talking about a Jew in the land. If he does the commandments, he'll physically live. Okay? Some say that, and I can understand where they're coming from, and there's not always a real clear line between those things. But I tell you what I hold. I hold that the Jews of the Old Testament had to keep the law in part before they could be saved. To me, and this is where we stopped last week, look in Psalms 4. Psalm 4, if you had to sum up Old Testament salvation under the Mosaic law, so running all the way from Moses all the way through, well, till Jesus Christ shows up and until really he died, this is how, this is, if there was one verse, this is how the verse I'd give you in Psalm 4 verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Nobody was ever excused for not having faith. There was never a time that grace didn't count. But if you were under the law, you put your trust in the Lord, did what he said, and when you messed up, and even when you didn't, you made the appropriate sacrifices. And what I believe is that God didn't grant somebody the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ on that basis. The law in Hebrews made nothing perfect. But what the law did was put a compressed bandage on a nasty bleeding wound that was going to bleed you out spiritually until such a time as Jesus Christ could come. Now, with the Galatians 3 thing saying a man that doeth these things shall live in them, let me take you back to the Old Testament. This is the stuff that I'd studied out, and I keep going back to it. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18, and like I said, I've gotten done reading some other guys, and because I'm reading some other stuff right now, and they struggle and wrestle with the issue of, you know, and they say it can't happen that the law could have delivered an acceptable form of righteousness that God accepted even temporarily. And that's what I believe happened. That the law did deliver a man a righteousness that God accepted for a time. Look in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. This is where the statement is pulled from in Galatians 3. Now read what it says. Verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Therefore shall ye walk in their ordinances. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I'm the Lord. Now, again, the reason I pointed out, the guy asked about eternal life, And Jesus said, if you do these things, you can live. You'll live. And then Galatians said that about a man that doeth these things, he shall live. And you can make the argument that he's not talking about spiritual life. He's just talking about if you do these things, you'll not be booted out of the land and you'll not physically die. But I don't think it stops there. If I could run you, let me see if I can afford to lose this hand. Look in Leviticus, the next page over. Look in Leviticus chapter 20. Now, before you do that, let me introduce you to another phrase. And I'd struggled with what this phrase meant. Going to go back to Leviticus 17 for a second. Now look at verse 14. And I don't want to confuse you, but let me introduce another couple of words into this and see where this leads us. Verse 14, talking about the blood, right? For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. Again, Israel under law, absolutely. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Okay, what's cut off mean? It happens again in chapter 18, down in verse 29, talking about the land being defiled under the former nations. It covers sodomy. It covers bestiality, among other things. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations were defiled which I cast out before you. The land is defiled, verse 25. Last phrase in verse 27, the land is defiled. Verse 28, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Now here's the land spewing them out. Part of Israel's promise was that they would have the land. And so some have made this mean just the land, but just hang in there. Verse 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off this time from among their people. Now some hold that that means that they're just being cut off and dying. Okay. But keep rolling. Verse 8 of chapter 19. And we're getting to something good here in a second. Therefore, anyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. That soul shall be cut off. Okay, what does that mean, being cut off? Because it plays into all this thing about if a man do these things, he shall live. Is this talking about eternal life? Is it talking about spiritual life? Or is it talking about physical life and life in the land? Look in chapter 20. And here things come together, started coming together for me, and started getting some answers. 20, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. Okay? Dead. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Now he's dead, right? He has lost his physical life. But watch, verse 3. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people. This is after he's dead. The cutoff thing has something to do spiritually that just losing your life doesn't include. Make sense? You see the two separate things there? Now, I'm not trying to beat you to death with this. I'm trying to get you to see why I came to the conclusions I came to. Along that line, let me give you a couple of verses about this whole thing with being cut off from one's people, what that might mean. Let's look at the other end of it. Keep your finger in Leviticus 20. Look in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25. Verse 17, and these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he died and gave up the ghost, and died. And notice he was gathered unto his people. He wasn't cut off from his people, he was gathered unto them. Look in Genesis 49. Jacob's going to die too. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, yielded up the ghost, he died, and was gathered to his people. I think being cut off from your people and being gathered to your people has to do with afterlife, right? Look in, I need you to look at one more, Deuteronomy, along this line, Deuteronomy, and where'd my reference go? Deuteronomy 32. Now look, the guys that I'm reading that are, you know, think that this is heresy, use the same verses that I use in the New Testament to prove that nobody in this age could ever get any righteousness that counted by keeping the law or doing anything. Because today, the righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And I never have concluded and never would that the law makes anything perfect, because it doesn't. It doesn't deliver perfect righteousness. It doesn't deliver the righteousness of God, but it delivered a form of righteousness, man's righteousness, that God accepted temporarily in conjunction with faith by grace and with taking God's remedy for having committed sin under the law, which was to offer the sacrifice. And so it's not like earning your salvation by the law, but God honored it for a time till something better came along, and we live in something better. But I just can't make it work and can't disregard some things that these guys seem happy enough to disregard to make salvation always have been through faith, period. I just can't get it. I can't make it work. What did I say? Deuteronomy 32, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 32:50. Okay, get thee up in verse 49 unto this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab. He's going to die. Verse 50. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. Okay, I'm putting this together with these guys, Jacob, Moses, Aaron, and for that matter, Ishmael, dying and being gathered unto their people. Plainly, we now know they went to Abraham's bosom, right? But somebody that was cut off from his people in Leviticus 20, verses 2 and 3, after he was put to death, then God cut him off from his people. Guess what? I don't think he went to Abraham's bosom. I think he died and went to hell. Right? I don't know what else to do with it. Look in verse 5 of Leviticus 20. This cutoff thing keeps going on, and he keeps touching on it. 20, Leviticus 20, verse 5. Then I will set my face against that man, and against his family I will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people, I'll cut him off. Verse 6, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. And one little thing is, sometimes in the Old Testament, talking about somebody's soul sometimes is equated with just his life. Not necessarily his soul going to hell, but sometimes a soul is counted as a life. And so there's that. And sometimes, and frankly, it's just hard to tell in the Old Testament at times who's saved and who's not, because their salvation was not set in stone like ours. And because while the Lord made promises here that he'll cut some folks off, under certain circumstances, it was always hard to tell exactly when he was cut off and what constituted enough for God to cut him off and not honor what righteousness he'd earned. But I can't disassociate Old Testament salvation being somehow connected to the law, because wherever I read, it is connected. So somebody, first of all, is saying that people are always saved by looking forward to the cross. Well, first of all, that's silly. Amen. But somebody saying that somebody is saved by grace through faith in the Old Testament always just doesn't. I can't make it fit. I've read. I've tried. I just assume it be that way, but I can't make it fit. Look in verse 20:17. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. And notice further another little thing that we'll investigate here in a second. And these things all come together and converge, and I think that it paints the picture that somebody in the Old Testament was not saved by faith. Not like we are, under law. Verse 17. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his sin. Now just keep that phrasing in mind too, bearing his sin. Verse 18. If a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, shall uncover her nakedness, he has discovered her fountain. She hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, if somebody, you know, as you know, under adultery laws of the Old Testament, two people get caught in adultery, they're both stoned. Now, beyond that, it looks like the Lord cut them off, too, which I believe means they went to hell. Look, verse 19, talking about the same thing with near kin. Last phrase, they shall bear their iniquity. Verse 20, another scenario, they shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. Now we can move all the way over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. And let's start with Ezekiel 3. We've covered stuff like this the last few weeks because of the Wednesday night. We're 7 weeks deep into the eternal security. And so I hope that y'all aren't feeling too beat up with what you might consider arcane things from Old Testament stuff that doesn't really apply to you. But I think it is important to you to understand what you've got that somebody in the Old Testament didn't. Look in Ezekiel chapter 3, and again, in search here of what the Lord honors as righteousness. We know from Romans 3 that God does not honor any righteousness but Christ's righteousness today imputed to a man by faith. But was that always the case? Well, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die, and notice once again, in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now that makes the witness, the prophet, puts him on the line apparently for losing his soul. Now, if you argue it means just losing life, there's some foundation for it. And I'm not going to argue it at the time, but I'm just putting these things together where, you know, the New Testament terminology is a little different. But somebody in Leviticus 20 that was cut off was first of all killed, so he's dead. And then God cuts him off from his people. He goes to hell. Look in verse 20 again. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, that would be the righteousness that he had earned by keeping the law and doing right. And I'm not equating it with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm saying it is a righteousness that God honored in the Old Testament. But if a man turns from it, it shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous man, that the righteous rather sin not, he doth not sin. He shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Now, Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. Then he says something interesting about some important men. Verse 13. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof. So there's famine. That's a judgment. And shall send famine upon it and will cut off men and beasts from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. Now, if I understand this right, I mean, Daniel, Noah, and Job, if they had been in the land, and God's going to judge the land because the land's committed iniquity, the nation's committed iniquity, he's going to judge that land by famine. So a bunch of people are going to die. And even if Daniel, Noah, and Job were in the land, they can but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Their righteousness, not God's righteousness. Now, would Daniel, Noah, or Job possibly die in the famine? Possibly. But if they died in the famine, their righteousness would count for something. Right? Look one more here before question verse 20. Though Daniel, Noah, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Go ahead with your question there, Jim.
During the tribulation, does the Leviticus law all come back into play to the Jews and the Gentiles?
I don't know that the Gentiles were ever under law, except in this, under the sense of Romans 2. The sense that they have, they're a law unto themselves by conscience, knowing basically that the Ten Commandments, the moral parts by nature, right? It's the time of Jacob's trouble, and so those Gentiles of the tribulation period, I would say in general, they believe on Christ, and they don't take the mark of the beast, and endure unto the end. But as far as having to subject themselves to circumcision and dietary laws, I don't see that.
How about the Jews, though, with the Leviticus law?
Apparently so, yes, sir. Yep. Because of the Sabbath statement in Matthew 24 is the first thing I'd think of along that line. Bryce.
If personal righteousness didn't matter, and the law
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that there are some guys that are pretty sound fellows otherwise that don't hold with my opinion and yours.
Well, then they don't hold with God's word.
Okay, well, fair enough. But again, they would argue a different argument. I'm just giving you why I can't agree with them. I mean, I agree with you, but I'm not exactly willing to absolutely cut the heads off of everybody that doesn't agree with me necessarily. Well, some of them would be good, but anyway. Ezekiel 18. Yes, I'm sorry.
What did David ask that he wasn't cut off? Because according to the deed of God, he shouldn't have cut off and sent it out.
David?
David was
yeah. Yeah, man. He had sure mercies. And he committed adultery.
He had sure mercies now.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad he didn't go to hell, but
absolutely. The Lord had mercy on him, and his repentance was accepted, and the Lord didn't take it to him on it. It's kind of wild. I mean, at the same time, there's another fella under law. Let me just, I'll take a sidetrack here since we're doing that. Look in Psalm 106. If I can find it, Psalm 106, I think I have it marked. There's another fellow under law that earned his righteousness a different way. And I've never heard this even touched by those that would argue this the other way. Psalm 106. And verse 28. Talking about Israel camped out by Baal Peor in Moab. They joined themselves also into Baal Peor, ate the sacrifices of the dead. We know from the New Testament they also committed adultery with the women, right? Verse 29. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so that the plague was stayed. Now remember, he went in and executed a man of Israel and a woman of Moab committing adultery, right? And then it says, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. That guy earned his salvation by executing two people. That's a lot different than the righteousness that Moses got by imputation by believing God. It was also a lot different than just under the law. But I'm just saying it's a very same phraseology. It says that he, verse 31, he counted it unto him for righteousness. So the Lord didn't nail David to the floor and gave this guy something completely outside the promises. Yeah. So anyway, let's return to where we were and finish running this string, kind of complete my thoughts on it. In Ezekiel chapter 18, again, back under law, discussing law, and the whole thing of verse 6 and 7, and going into usury in verse 8, talking about menstruation, verse 6, and various other things, verse 7, verse 8. Hasn't given forth upon usury. Usury's fine for a Jew to use upon Gentiles. But a Jew is not supposed to use usury upon another Jew. Anyway, for neither hath taken any increase that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. The guy that did those things, he is just. He shall surely live. Now, he'll live physically. But man, going back to Galatians 3 and Luke 10, I think it's talking about eternal life too. Guy earns it. He's got his own earned righteousness in the Old Testament. It's not what you and I have, but God honored it. He honored a less than perfect thing. He honored it. Go ahead, Ian. True. Yes, sir. And in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith, which is a little bit of a play. But yeah, we shall live by faith. But he's living by faith, this guy in verse 6, 7, and 8 in Ezekiel 18. He's living by faith, but his faith leads him to do these just things. God honors that righteousness in the Old Testament. You're supposed to do after you believe, true enough, but God gives you eternal life for just believing, period. And that's where the rub is, right? So he looked at verse 9, look in verse 18. There's a context here. Talking about a man not dying for the sins of his father. Verse 18, as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. He'll die in his iniquity. He'll die in his sins. We'll look at that in a second. Verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay, and again, there would be some that would argue that they just die in the land. They physically die. But it looks to me like there's something more. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. A father can't earn righteousness for his son. But verse 22. Verse 21. But if the wicked shall turn from all his sins that he hath committed, keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful. Do that which is lawful and right, not just believe it. He shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness. Not God's righteousness. That he hath done, he shall live. Now, with that in mind, that always brings to my mind John chapter 8. And just keep your finger in Ezekiel 18. We'll be done in a second with it. But in John chapter 8, it always brings to mind what the Lord was saying with this. And he hammered the scribes and the Pharisees real hard on it. Verse 19, then saith they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. You're going to die in your sins. Now, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. If you had died in your sins, you would have gone to hell. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel, he says, you'll bear your iniquity. You'll die in your iniquity if you don't have righteousness. And I think it means going to hell. Verse 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? He saith unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. This is the same passage where he calls them children of the devil. My point is, this is tying together John, Christ's ministry, saying that you'll die in your sins, and us being formerly dead in our trespasses and sins, all the way back to Ezekiel, where these people were dead in their sins and bearing their iniquity. Look in Ezekiel 18 one more time. We're almost done with Ezekiel. Just hang in here, but it keeps pressing it. Verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked men doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he had trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in the end of them shall he die. They die in their sins. Now, if somebody wants to argue, that doesn't mean that they're going to go to hell. You still got that problem with cut off. The guy stoned, dead, and then God cuts him off. And I just can't make that leap. I think that they died in their sins if they forsook the righteousness of the law. It wasn't perfect. It didn't make anything perfect. But God honored it for the time until Jesus Christ came. Let me show you. I'm going to just make sure that I've hit everything that I need to. One more. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 21. Again, tying some stuff together. This all started with a guy asking, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Christ said, if you do this, you'll live. And Galatians says that under the law, if you did these things, you would live. Verse 10, Ezekiel 20:10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. He'll live in, I believe that means they'll have life in them. Not just physical life, but spiritual life. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them. That's an answer to another question, but we won't bother with it. Right now, verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They didn't do it. Verse 21, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. So over and over again, I think these guys, if they died without earned righteousness by law, died and went to hell. Bryce.
I think I might know the difference between what's going on here that you were talking about. The Old Testament, when it says the soul that sinned of it shall die, you can't forget that in those days, the circumcision made without hands has not occurred. Your soul is part of your body.
Yep.
It's your life. When they say the soul that sinned of it shall die, that means not only your soul but your body, both of them are going to die.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen with us here.
Right.
Because our soul is cut away from our body. That's why some people, you know, follow us.
Right.
Probably act like we weren't saved, but it doesn't matter because we are. And that's part
right.
of the reason.
Yep. All right. Okay. Look in Philippians 3 real fast. And like I said, I hope this is not just arcane, monotonous, you know, arguing about stuff you don't care about. But like I said, I've given you the reasons I believe it is important. Let me show you New Testament something. Now, we studied Zacharias and Elizabeth. That's Luke 1:6. Who were said to be righteous before God according to all the statutes of the law. I believe that means that John the Baptist's mother and father under law were as perfect as you could be, and that they were saved in part at that time by keeping the law. Right? Okay? Look in Philippians chapter 3. And let me, this is an indication, and I'm not trying to read something in, but notice what Paul says concerning his credentials, verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now he says there that there's a righteousness that is in the law. It is not the righteousness of God. It is not the righteousness that's imputed to us by faith. But there is a righteousness in the law. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, there's two kinds of righteousness right there in that verse. The righteousness that comes by the law, that's man's righteousness. Then there's the righteousness of God that comes by faith. And I simply hold, there was a day under law that God honored the earned righteousness by law of the man. And there was no righteousness of God fully available. You couldn't pray and say, God, give me your righteousness by Christ. And so when Christ came, that was done away for the church age. But at the same time, just one more little bit here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. And this answers in part Jim's question. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, law, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, law, which are a shadow of things to come. It is coming back. But buddy, it's not coming back for you. The body, but the body is of Christ. The body is an entirely different animal. Israel and the body are never to be confused. Okay, so we beat that up. We'll go on next week. Any questions further or comments? Brother Mark.
Yes.